Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, and that would be just fine. That's just fine. Okay, so we head into earnings season, where companies tell us what they did. So they give their history report. And they miss or they make their numbers, and this kind of thing just goes, oh, it's so electric. It's such good news. No, it's not. But it's a lot of noise during this period. And then they quickly decipher it, and of course they go out to press. And the market, you know, I remember reading this literally yesterday. Stock, I don't even need to say. It was just stock that I own in client portfolios. And it's like a more than 3%. I can't find any news on it, you know? But then a blurb comes on there under the quote and says, maybe, because earnings are coming next week or soon, or in other words, it's completely made up. Nobody knows why the stock went up. So let's make up a reason. It even said maybe. You know, it's like maybe. And I was like, what in the world? Why not just not comment? Or say, this stock is having a good day on no apparent news. That's actually what they used to say, right? They used to say stuff like, I don't know. People had the humility, if you will, to say, I don't know. Stocks fluctuate, you know, and today everybody wanted to buy it, and tomorrow maybe everybody wants to sell it for like not really any good reason. This just collectively they do. Collectively, they don't feel that the outlook is as good or it's particularly good, and it happened today. Dot, dot, dot. End of story. But we spend so much time making this up that it seems a lot like news. Like, oh, whoa. You know, again, like Wall Street is giving us important data. And it's not. It's noise. And our brains are not wired to do this. They really aren't. I just ordered a book yesterday. And because a great client, just a super guy that's been around for a long time. And it's just a calming force, one of those people, right? Very strong spiritual presence, just a great person, and a true blessing to all the people around him. You know, he just that's the way he just oozes that. It's like I want to be that guy, you know. And he comes in and he's just so excited because that's the kind of guy he is. And he has this book. He says, "Dave, I just got this. Now I go ahead and leaf through it. We're gonna go ahead and go over here and meet with Jennifer and Tom and do some stuff and then I want to talk to you for a minute about it, you know." And it's just super excited. I'm leafing through, and it's just wow. I gotta order this book because it's talking about the degradation of our brains, and it's also in spiritual terms. Gives quotes from the Bible, all these things to tie all this together. But the neuroscience of it, this is a doctor that writes it, is talking about all of the inputs we're taking into our brains are creating, well, if you will, a mushy brain, right? That's my own word, not hers. And it's just and these ruts are growing deeper for people. And there's hope you can detoxify. But I really thought about it a lot. It's not like I read the whole book, but I was just kind of leafing through a couple chapters and went, I got to get this. Because we have to think about what all these inputs do. In the second hour today, I'm going to talk a lot about fear. Because I know we're in the most fearful time, certainly that I can remember, okay? I'm not saying the 1960s was Sputnik, the beginning of the Cold War and all those things. And I just grew up in an era where, you know, we assumed sometime there would be like nuclear annihilation. Honestly, it's just like, yeah, probably going to happen. It didn't mean people stopped having babies and stop building businesses. It just meant, yeah, probably, you know. And now we get to throw AI into the mix. We get to scream and yell at each other every day in politics. And all of these inputs are supposed to be okay. We just kind of set them aside. And neurologically, you can't. You don't. It creates ruts in the brain. And we become more fearful than we should about things we can do nothing about. We make predictions about, you know, the world ending, the currency's done, we need to go do this, got to do that. And we read and read and we put more and more into this. And we listen to nutty, crazy people that have nothing positive to say, like ever. And then they just keep coming back the next day to talk about why the world's ending. But I'm so thoughtful. And it's not thoughtful or helpful to just be always negative. It's not. And anyway, so I this just happened the last couple of days, and I'm just like, this is so today. We need this today. Because markets are noisy. The world is noisy. Everybody's clamoring, and it's, you know what, it's going to get worse, isn't it, over the next couple of years as we get to the presidential election. I'm right, you're wrong, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. And particularly if Trump's in, it's going to be bad. I mean, it's going to be the same old crazy. It'll be the same old crazy, won't it? Right? Where people are going crazy all of the time. All of the time. So it's just one of those things that I have just been thinking about, and I think is very, very important for all of us to be thinking about what those inputs are when we're trying to make decisions about growing businesses, all of the things that there are out there that make us not want to continue, not want to grow, not want to strive, and also not want to accept. I know I get rutted in to my own viewpoints, my own belief system, and the other people on the other side of the aisle, I'm not hearing either. None of it is helpful to be entrenched. But when it comes to investing, how do people handle it when they're fearful about the future? Well, they don't. They don't handle it at all. It drives them out. Always. Always. So we've got this very fearful world, and as I've talked about, I think it's partly is this complete lack of leadership out there. But I always come back to the basics. Corporate earnings, dividends, cash flows of the greatest companies in the world, whether you like them or don't like them, whether they're a little too woke for you or not, they manage to continue to grow in this world collectively. Collectively. And with all of the things that are being overly reported all of the time, it's hard to get the perspective that this simply works. It simply works. That's the truth about markets, about freedom, about capitalism. And what we ought to be fighting for is the purity of that, the fight that is. It's not this thing that people need to manage better. You know, the really smart people in power, important people, to help us manage the markets better, fairer. You know, they because they can figure out what's fairer. They wouldn't have a bias at all, would they? For the winners and losers, you know, because they're better than us. Markets figure it out. They do a great job. To me, that's the fight, right? Not that the world's ending. Let's fight for the freedom of the markets, which is the center of our freedom and our prosperity, for sure. Our number is 580-KIDO. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, right now let's go to the phones. Good friend of mine, Mr. Dan Long. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good. Hey, listen, I just wanted to call in and invite your audience to just talk about an event coming up. This coming Thursday, the 27th, at the Boise Public Library. And it's put on by Braver Angels. And Braver Angels is an organization that started in 2016. And it's an attempt to bring reds and blues, conservatives and other, to bring civility back to civil discourse. Mm-hmm. And so the event will have, it'll be an hour and a half down at the Boise Public Library. It's free to attend. And, you know, we think this is the most difficult time our country's ever been in. It's far from it. Abraham Lincoln, during his inaugural address with the clouds of the Civil War coming, called upon all Americans, North and South, to appeal to the better angels of our nature. And just imagine the Civil War with social media involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We 90% of our country is okay with each other. It's just this tool, and wait till artificial intelligence gets involved. It's just this tool that has come in that has allowed a lot of people to make a lot of money, stirring up a lot of hornet's nests. So anyway, this is a program that this whole Braver Angels, I've got my Rotary Club sponsoring this. It wasn't easy getting them to step up to it because we have progressives and conservatives in there. And I just said, guys, just trust me, guys and girls, let's sit down and talk. So I'll either get thrown out of Rotary after Friday morning, or it will truly allow people to come together, not to change each other's minds, just understand that we're both passionate. We have too great a country to lose.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So, you know, what time does this? You said it's the 27th, so that's next Thursday, right?
Yeah, next Thursday, and that's from 6 p.m. till 7:30 at the Boise Downtown Library at the auditorium. And anyway, we'll just any of your audience that would like to come to that would be awesome. If not, pray for it.
Yeah, good, good, good. Dan, I appreciate you taking that on. I really do. There's just needs to be more people like you take time to rally people in a way that we can go learn something, we can grow, and hopefully, honestly, just feel differently about one another. I think that's and good on these people for putting this together. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, you what does this have to do with a financial program? It's got everything to do with it. It's about confidence. It's about concerned about our country economically. Is we have to remain a strong economic power, right? So for me, it's got everything to do with investing and holding a line and believing in this country that we have our best years still ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah. Shining light on a hill.
Anyway.
We do. Yeah. You know, that's a good, that's a great point. Dan, thank you for the heads up on that. And once again, I'm just going to say it's the 27th next Thursday at the public library. Yeah. Begins at 6 p.m. And it will be a good discourse between, I guess you've got some speakers on both sides of the aisle, so to speak. Is that fair?
Yes, we do. We'll have 8 people speak, 2 minutes each. And then we're going to put them through a program. In fact, our friend Mark Buchanan is a trained facilitator in Braver Angels too. So he's going to put through a workshop where you'll actually sit down with if you're a red, you're going to sit down with another blue. There'll be groups of 4 to 6.
Yeah.
And we'll just talk about some things. It's really, I would say, it's a night of listening.
Yeah, good. I like it. Dano, thank you, buddy.
Anyway, I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. All right.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a good day. And, you obviously can hear the music here, so we are getting ready to head off to Fox News at the top of the hour. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about fear. I'm going to talk about some of the basics, going back to those basics, because that's what we have to center ourselves on, and is those basics, because this works. This is not the worst time on this planet. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, sponsors, anything like that. But more important than that, it's that we're not here to tell you what to buy, 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 and sell, 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 as we say every week. That's just noise. It goes the wrong direction. It's like anti-good investing. It's like, I know I'm going to spend a lot of time doing something, listening to stuff that makes me a worse investor. Yeah. Not smart. A, it destroys your time, the greatest precious resource we have, and it makes you worse at something. That's not good. That's just not good. That's crazy, is what it is. But I think about that, too, of how much stuff we waste time on. I do, too. We all do. But I want to think about it more and not do that. What do I waste my precious time on that actually makes me more unhappy, more anxious, tense, uncertain? What am I doing? The world is so fearful. It's so upside down. I'm so frustrated too, just like you. Like, what is wrong with people? I just want to scream sometimes. My head, it does sometimes. What is wrong with people? I mean, I can't even believe you have to have a law like in Florida that we don't teach kindergartners through third graders about gender identity. Huh? I mean, who thinks that's a good idea? I, unless you're trying to indoctrinate people into a certain whatever. I don't know what it is. Is it to make sure we remove God from any thoughts we have? Is it to supplant the capital markets, the free world, free expression with the thought police? I don't know. Because they don't even know what sex is at that age. They don't have hormones. It's weird. I mean, it's just, I get it, okay? I'm not here to talk about that, but my point is, this is how upside down everything is and how frustrated we get. Of course. Of course we do. But when there isn't a literal argument at all, you know, so I know it's good to sit down with people on the other side, but when the argument is, just don't say gay, that's what the bill is. I didn't say that. Has nothing to do with that. Or you're a bigot. No, I just don't want my 3-year-old third grader grandchildren taught things, confused about things they don't even know or care about. Just leave them alone. This is the world we're in. You say, well, what in the world does that have to do with finances? Everything. Everything. We have the leader of the free world, or whoever the puppet master is in behind, can't find the doorknob to leave a room. His handlers won't let him speak out because... Well, I don't know what the president just said, but yeah, good point. Let's shuffle them off and pretend that didn't happen. And on we go. And talk about what a great job he's doing. And Afghanistan was not bad. It was really good. I mean, all of these things are so upside down. But where's the leaders? There aren't any. There's no leaders at the Fed. There's no leaders at the Treasury. You know, the administrations of all these things kind of run the country. Now, we got all the boxes checked, except for the one that says competent. That's fearful. How are we going to solve problems like China or Russia, energy policy, the list goes on, when we have transportation secretaries that have never done anything in transportation at all? No leaders. It's crazy fearful. How do we have a future when that is it and all we do is scream and yell at each other? Very fearful. Why would I ever want to invest? I just really want to go into the woods somewhere and get away from it. And I think sometimes we have to do that. Literally. Go to the woods, take a walk, contemplate the universe, your part in it. All of those things. Play with your grandchildren. Get away from that screaming box. All that noise is not good. You know, this morning there was this great article in the Wall Street Journal, of course. That's where great articles are. They all come from there. In my humble opinion, they do. In this recent poll that they have every year, they poll people, like something over 1,000 people are polled every year and have been since 1972. Whether they're happy, a little happy, very happy, or unhappy. And some other questions about how optimistic they are about the future. It's never been lower. That only 12% of the people said they were very happy. 12. Now, you know, I think about that. I saw this little blurb come through and I go, I've got to read that article. I don't need to know what the market did this week. I need to read that article. I need to understand somewhat what's going on with those 12% people in a world that is not happy. The most unhappy by self-expression, saying, yes, I'm very happy. I'm not so happy. Okay, leave me alone. There are less people very happy than ever since 1972 when they started. So you know what was really cool about it? They wanted to talk to some of the 12% people. What a great idea. Why are you happy? Why are you happy? I mean, wouldn't I want to know some of the secrets to being very happy? Of course we would. Of course. And it's not uniform. Because you clearly, most people in this believed that marriage was important, even if they weren't married. But they believed it was important. Most people believe that. Okay, well, that's interesting. That's good. Okay, what else? Most of them were religious. Not all. Most. And we all know in this country that most people now are not identifying, so that find that very interesting. They believed in something greater than themselves. Huh. Money was not the most important thing in their life. Yeah, that makes sense. They were involved in their communities. And they were fit. And here was a surprising one. To me. I didn't think any of these were surprising. They're older. People became smarter, happier as they got older. You mean I got happier as my body didn't work as well? Right? Because there's something going on as we get more thoughtful and closer to death, yes, every day. But I didn't see anything in this article also. It said you really need to watch more news. I watch a lot. Because, you see, being involved in your community, having close relationships, married, friendships that were very tight, this is the common denominator, requires you leaving the news to have those relationships. Because that's the common denominator. We all knew that. We all know that. We all know that. We have always known that. Having a belief in something more than you, having a partner or partners, multiple friends, to run through life with, and being involved in your communities, means you're not living just for you. You're living outside of yourself. And you're happier. And that requires you pulling away from the noise in all of our heads. That all those people over there make me very angry. The world is upside down. I don't deny it. It's very fearful. We have a lack of leadership. We have evil people in the world that want nothing more than to dominate. I don't understand that. You don't understand that. It's like I'm watching a Star Wars movie. It's like, you mean we haven't grown past evil people? No, we haven't. We haven't at all. The barbarians are at the gates. They always will be. But in our own minds, it just comes back to, what do we put in there? More fear? Pile more on? Or do we see the possibilities? It's our choice. And I think we have to be active in that choice. We live in the most abundant time. I thought that's what we were trying to do. Get more stuff. Have more time. Not work quite as hard. Not have to dig a ditch. Let a machine do it. We have more abundance. Less people are hungry than ever before in history. More time to pursue, theoretically, what you want to do. More elevation in your life, personally. And we're less happy. We're more confused about the world. We're angrier. And we know that. We as individuals have to stop the over inputs of stuff like, if we have a digital currency, the world is going to die. That's it. I've been reading. Okay, grand. It doesn't mean you ignore all that. But it's like, I don't spend all my time reading about how digital currency is going to end the world. And guess what? I know about it, right? I mean, I don't have to bury myself in it to know what's there. I don't have to contemplate it every single day. That we have inflation, it'll never go away, and we're printing money, and it's a fiat currency, and we got to go back to the gold, and I need to go do this. Stop it. We got to stop it. But we just have to stop it. You know, my favorite thing for information is reading the Wall Street Journal every day. Plenty of good stuff in there, like about happy people. It's not just finance. But the thing that it's taught me, too, is that reading allows our brains to slow down, to contemplate, to think, to get the best out of other people's best thoughts and not run around crazy. And I don't have to run around crazy. I don't need to dig in deeper to fear-based, end-of-the-world stuff. It does not lead me closer to any truth. It leads me further from happiness in my life, in my clients' lives. It's not being Pollyannish. I think it's being wise. We need to back up. We really do. And yes, I know the world is very fearful. It's horrible. It's horrible. But what are you going to do about China? What are you going to do? What are you going to do about AI? Worry about it? Or take a walk with your grandkids? Dig deeper about the currency, the digital currency, and how they're out to get you. That makes you a better grandpa, doesn't it? You know, I just don't think it's Pollyannish. I think I see things like SpaceX launch another rocket, spend another $1 billion. Blows up. I love their comments. We're getting closer. There's another way it won't work. We're getting closer. Not we quit. Oh, and by the way, that idiot that thought it was a good idea to do transgender Bud Lights, she got fired. Can you believe it? I can't believe it. But they did. They actually fired her. Maybe the world is changing. Maybe. That was kind of big. There's some good stuff. I know it's hard. Hang in there. Let's hang in there. You know? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We'll get this ship righted. We're not going to always have a president that has a hard time putting a sentence together, to be kind. We won't. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I mean that for like 35 years. I mean, 35 years. Seriously? It doesn't make any sense. You know, it's amazing. You know, I think that I want to be 25 years old again, and I want to try again. But you don't get to, right? You just don't get to. You have to be an arrogant, stupid 25-year-old kid trying to take on the world, make a lot of mistakes. And we still do. I don't mean I don't make mistakes. I most certainly do. I'm sure my wife could give you a whole laundry list full. It's just something that keeps going on. But one of the things that I find stunning is you just kind of keep doing something and you keep getting better at it because you put the work in. And then suddenly it's 35 years later and you're still finding people want to listen. So thank you for that. I mean, I just can't believe where the time went. You develop long-term friendships. That's what only time and age can do. In a sense of self, a better sense of self, and if you will, a better sense of humility that, you know, it just really isn't about you. Weird, I know, but it isn't. It's a hard concept in this world. We're very, very self-focused, and I think social media's hurt that to a very high level. I intentionally have not done Facebook and Twitter. I do have an economist I follow on Twitter. But I don't explore the rest. I don't want to get beat up on that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Not just for me. It doesn't make sense to me for the world, for humans. You know, I admire Elon Musk for his attempts at different things and his unbelievable sheer brilliance. There's no doubt he is something else. I hope he can fix Twitter, but I also, on one hand, just don't really care. You know, I'm just glad that the exposure of the thought police is bigger and bigger. It really is. By the way, I want to quickly mention this. You should probably read Peggy Noonan's article today on artificial intelligence. It's just really that good. Look it up, Wall Street Journal today. I'm sure you can get it out there if you're not a subscriber. It's very thoughtful about Silicon Valley artificial intelligence. I think it's just really good. And another reason why we are all worried. As I say, on one hand, yes, it's real, and it's something to be worried about. And on the other, stop worrying about it. Because we can't own everything. We just can't. We can't own it all. Not allowed to. It's not a capacity for that. Okay? I think it's just amazing when we think about this in this world. Okay? I just think of all the fear and the market's super volatile and all these things. And I'm going, okay. And I actually said this to one of our advisors. So I find it really kind of interesting. We were talking on Friday and we were talking about this product we use. Okay. It's an exchange traded fund. We use it in the portfolios to generate income. Well, everything's a trade-off, right? So we get tons of income on this thing when the market is volatile. And so I happen to note that the market's not volatile at all. And he just laughed. Because that's what we think the market is. But actually, the quote's fear gauge, the VIX, to use our terms, you know, so I can sound really super smart. The VIX, which is an index that measures options trading and therefore volatility in the markets, is at the lowest level since 2021. Huh? But I thought the market was super volatile. Blah, 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 blah. Which is why I had him look up the current yield on the darn thing. And sure enough, it's falling month after month. Why? Because it gets paid more when the market is particularly volatile. But that's not what we feel because there's so much fear of all this other stuff. Once again, our feelings mislead us often. But I just found that fascinating. Truly. Friday hits the lowest level since 2021. But I thought the market was very fearful. And in fact, I kind of think people are. But the market itself has not been very volatile. Very interesting to me. All right, Bob, I'm going to do this so we have plenty of time. I'm going to take our break at the bottom for Fox News and pull you up on the other side of the break. Our number is 580-KIDO. Hello, and thank you for joining us. Once again, our number, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. If you prefer email, let's go to the phones. Bob, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please. Hello,
good morning.
Bob. Oh, Gary, you are. Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell me that I heard a belated April Fool's joke. It sure sounds like it, that if you spend your life paying attention to your personal financing and you're doing all the right things and you have a good credit score, that now you're going to help finance people who have bad credit scores. You're going to pay more for what you've paid attention to your whole life. Tell me that's a late April Fool's joke.
What are you referring to, though?
Buying a house, and that now you're going to, if you have a good credit score, you're going to have to finance other people's because you're going to have to pay higher prices to buy your house.
I have not seen that come out. Bob, are you
that just happened over the past couple of days when I heard about that.
I haven't heard anything like that. So you're saying that there's some kind of a tax for having
a good credit score that you're gonna pay for other people who don't have a good credit score.
No, I don't think that's true. But I will say this: to a degree, that has been true for decades. And it's Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, first-time home buyer, different things that they've tried to do to bring people in. And we saw that in spades in the 2008 collapse. This is where we had liar loans and Congress yelling at the bankers, you by God, we'll loan money to people that will not pay you back. And those were put into all these packages basically guaranteed by the U.S. government. So we all, as taxpayers, collectively paid for that and continue to pay for it. And through various programs, we pay for it on an ongoing basis, but not as a direct, Bob, you have a great credit rating, so you have to pay more for your loan because you're going to support the people on the other side. But indirectly, you always have.
Well, hopefully this won't happen again, because supposedly you're not going to tax people who make less than $400,000. Oh, my goodness. I mean, and this is hits right into the face of responsible personal finance. And it's really, really made some changes. So, well, interesting to find out your comments when you learn more about that, because I'm sure, and I'm no right-wing conspiracy person either. I know I heard this just over the past couple days.
All
it's
right.
Like, what? What? Okay, thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
Hey, you do the same, Bob. Thank you. You have a good day yourself. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Terry, how you doing today?
Hey, morning, Professor, and thank you, Bob.
Yeah.
I heard that yesterday, and I just wrote it off as something so stupid that not even our government would consider it. But I did see that report on, I believe it was one of the local news channels.
Interesting, interesting.
That said there's going to be a fund established that people with good credit, exceptional above 815, or I forget, 800 credit score, will be donating part of their mortgage to a fund for suboptimal mortgage applicants.
Sheer genius. That's a great idea. That is, I can't imagine what could go wrong with that.
I'm ruining the day that I got my credit score up to 815, darn it.
I know.
Wait a minute. I don't have a mortgage, so the heck with y'all. Y'all go fix it.
That's right. Yeah. I don't care because I don't have any debt. There you go. I don't care what happens. That's right. But, yes, I think that's insane. So, I just got another text from my wife. She's busy texting me today. And she has just let me know that it was on Fox News. So there you go.
Fox News. Okay.
That was another one that was on. So there you go. So it was actually, therefore, it must be true, and it must be absolutely certain to happen. But anyway, I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's absolutely absurd. So,
well, that's why you have to have the truth out there now that we know, and G.I. Joe says knowing's half the battle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well,
but
and
Mr. Limbaugh used to say, you know, what are these wizards of smart going to come up with next? And it just
it just goes on, doesn't it?
Boggles the imagination.
It does boggle the imagination. I mean, it's just like we just do all these things. It's right. Okay. So apparently it's Joe Biden's bringing it back. Why would Joe Biden bring it back? A really bad idea? Who knows? Except it must sound really, really good to his base. You know what I mean?
I'm dealing with a little bit of early onset senile dementia, forgetting stuff and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the worse he makes stuff out there, the better he looks. So, you know, that's from a deplorable. I apologize to everybody out there that's offended, but the heck with you.
Yeah, but you're a deplorable anyway, so there you go.
Yeah. But I did have a question there.
Yeah, fire away.
And with all of the activity in the market, and you were talking about the VIX making money and everything, mm-hmm. Brokers, are they churning their portfolios because everything is self-directed now? And I'm not disparaging you as a broker guy. But to look busy to their clients, you know, the volatility and everything, is that part of what's going on in the market?
Yeah, Terry, it's an interesting thing to think about. What is really going on, and we have to understand this, 80% of the trading every day is done by black boxes. So in and out, in and out, in and out, close the positions at the end of the day. Okay, so that is not the majority of trading on a day-to-day basis. So you're right, it's churning, but not by brokers. Little black boxes with algorithms, they dial the algorithms day-to-day to what they think the news would move on it, right? You know, if you hear something about China saber rattling or whatever, you know, oil prices, oh, that's going to be a sell signal, and they put it in the system, and so in a fraction of a second, it's off.
Yep, don't watch the other hand.
Exactly. And then the fundamentals are of buying and selling, and you bring up a really good point, though, as far as that goes. People, I have always had this, I shouldn't say always, but certainly for 20 years, the Ten Commandments, right? And one of those Ten Commandments that I have for trading, or if you will, investing, is that you don't overtrade. Because the more trading you do, statistically, a fact, the worse you do. So go ahead and change your portfolio. You will absolutely have worse results. And that is something you keep in mind. So you have to make moves that are tempered. You don't make an all or none move very often. I won't say never. There's sometimes a stock position you just go, I don't like this anymore, and you sell it out completely. But normally you'll see activity in an individual account, certainly from us, and I think this we are pretty representative of how money is managed by, I'm just going to say it, by top organizations. It's not go here, fly there, do this and do this. It's more little massaging. Like, okay, you know, the Apple position you have, it's done so well, it's gotten kind of big. We need to trim it just a little bit. Not sell it all. Trim it. Right size it.
Or take your profits, yeah.
Yeah, and then, or it's something like, this just isn't working very well, and now we have an opportunity over here. Like right now, I've talked about this for months now. The fact is that it's okay to own a few bonds now. It wasn't okay for more than 10 years. But it's okay now because they collapsed in 22. Now you can start thinking about adding some of those in. And that's the first time in over 10 years. So those kind of small changes, we say, oh, let's put another 5%, another 10 over here, is not a move out of stocks. I think the world is ending. Go to bonds. That is not smart. And activity is in some people's minds, yep, that shows I'm working. But you were astute enough to hit on it. Is this just people pretending to be doing stuff? Oftentimes it is, Terry. It oftentimes is, unless you're seeing minor changes, rebalancing, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you had to bring up Apple because for last night and this morning I've been fighting iTunes because they said, you haven't listened to this podcast for a little while here, and so we're not going to download it anymore for you.
Mm.
Oh, thank you. Don't fix something that's good, you blanky blank. Don't help.
Yeah.
Wizards of smart.
Yeah, that's right.
David, all I ever ask is make me money.
There you go. We're trying. All right, Terry. Thanks for your call, and you have a wonderful day.
Same to you, sir. Thank you.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us. If you have any comments, questions during the week, we'd love to hear from you at PetsoFinancial.com. We also we have email there. We have podcasts as well. And I think our last count was like 40,000 podcasts have been downloaded. That just seems like a big number. I know it's not, you know, Joe Rogan big numbers, but that's a lot. A lot of folks out there. We'd love to hear from you if, for example, you're located overseas and shoot us an email sometime just to let us know, and thank you for your service as well. And there's also some calculators and other articles there to help you with your own financial planning as well. All right. A couple of quick things here. All right. The article I suggested, Peggy Noonan's article in the Wall Street Journal today, I think it's so important. Okay. It's AI in the Garden of Eden. Okay. Something like that. That's pretty close. But you look up Peggy Noonan, Wall Street Journal today, that's what's going to pop up. Okay. And I also want to mention this too. I think I can't go, but I think it's would be super fun. And that is the woke, if you will, presentation that my buddy Dan talked about earlier. That's coming up on Thursday, the 27th, at the Public Library, 6 p.m. It's going to be, it should be a very interesting viewpoints where I think Dan said there were eight people, four blues, four reds, that are going to talk about, not argue, but talk. This is what we feel about this. This is how we feel about that. And to try to understand things in a better way and come together and have, if you will, civil discourse instead of just screaming and yelling all day long on the little box. It just doesn't get anywhere, right? So that's the 27th, 6 p.m. at the Public Library, okay? All right. I got one more text here. This one came and said that was saying the Washington Times, in addition, was reporting about the good credit scores being penalized. That's the problem with not winning elections. Because once in a while, you run into sheer lunacy. Sheer political bend. Not logic, not what's going to be good for the country, good for the economy, good for whatever. Not even good for the people that are supposedly in your constituency. A total self-driven, feel-good nonsense. And by people who check boxes but are incompetent. And that's the administrators of our world, of our government. Another rules-based instead of something that has to go through Congress. I think there's other avenues that this could be shut down. I'm hopeful. But I guess it's kind of sort of real. So JoJo, the monkey boy, wants to have people who have good credit ratings subsidize those with bad credit ratings even more than we're doing now through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and other states have for new home buyers. It's insane to punish people for good behavior, like paying their flipping bills. So to answer your text, how do I feel about that? That's how I feel about it. It's beyond crazy. It's beyond stupid. It's so driven by, I think that this is going to fly by the voters really well. My constituents, whatever. It's the same thing as this student loan deal that I certainly feel like and pray that will be thrown out. But it's just this lunacy that is going on out there and parades as some kind of caring thing that we would have student loans paid off only for those that still have a student loan. To heck with those that paid them off or paid cash. Put the money away in those stupid, stupid 529 programs. You are so dumb to have done that, to have the money available for your children. Or those that became plumbers and electricians. Instead of going and becoming baristas with a history degree. Or an English major. There are a lot of choices, and it just carves everybody out. And these ideas are terrible. And they're very costly, and costly in more ways than just the money. Because it changes behavior in the worst possible ways. You're better off to pile up debt because we're going to forgive it. Smart. That's really good. And society will benefit greatly from that. So that's why we have to win elections. That's why it doesn't help to be righteously losing. Compromise. Come more to the center and win. And then change hearts and minds about what's important. And govern. governed correctly, not stupidly. Because you get in charge of everything in the executive branch. I know, they don't have the purse strings, and they got some powers over in the Senate and the Congress. I know, but it's pretty powerful when you can just make rules. Pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. Okay? All right. I still am optimistic about our world. Can't help it. I can't help it. I just am. Down deep, people are good. They are. They may be selfish, and the world is tilting us more selfish. But that's up to us. You don't have to be that way. You can dial it back. You don't have to listen to endless streams of bad news and get angry. You don't have to be on TikTok all the time, piling into your computer and going deeper and deeper into digital currency or something other scary. We don't have to do that. It's our choice what we spend our time doing. And I'm going to choose to spend more time in the future with people, not with devices. Even more. I talked to another one. This is what I love about my industry. My gosh, I mean, I just meet amazing people. And of course, some of them unfortunately die. But you get a chance to reflect on their lives and what they meant and how beautiful they were. And it makes us better. It does. It does. But yesterday also had somebody come in, very much alive, and was talking about the fact that they got rid of cable TV a few years ago. And how much happier they were. I couldn't help but just smile and go, that does sound like a pretty good idea. And he goes, I don't think I know anything less than I do. You can't miss out. You still do. Everybody have a great weekend. I appreciate you so much.